Turn your Bibles, Ezekiel 47. I'll tell you what, I'm so enjoying this season we're in with the Holy Spirit and how far He's led us. I just look back at some of the earlier revelations, because each time He gives you a revelation, you think you're at the door. But then one revelation after another, He's brought us literally to the door of leaven. So how do I know when God leavens? The kingdom of God is like leaven, which a woman took, the woman of wisdom, and takes and hides in the three measures until the whole's leavened. So how do I know when my faith's been leavened? Because manifestation will be there. Leaven's the final operation before manifestation. When leaven comes, I remember sometimes past when I had major breakthroughs, I didn't really understand it as leaven, but now I do. When the Holy Spirit leavens your faith, and He leavens the Word of God inside of you, and He leavens the dunamis creative power, you're going to get an instantaneous manifestation. Leaven happens. It's going to happen quickly. Within a week, you're going to see the manifestation of the kingdom, sometime instantaneously. That's the way it is. You'll be going along, but that seed's going to break forth through the ground, and when it does, it'll begin multiplying greatly. Amen. A lot of times you're working your faith underground, you're working it in the heart, and you're not seeing anything, but that doesn't mean, just like the seeds in the ground, just because you didn't see it come out of the ground, it's working in there, amen? It's working, and when you work the measures and get the measures by faith, see, you have a part, and the Holy Spirit has a part, your partnership, and in that partnership, you exercise the proper mustard seed faith in the receiving of the Word and receiving of dunamis, and faith, there's four or five levels of faith, pre-leaven, say pre-leaven. Pre-leaven faith. Pre-leaven faith. Post-leaven faith. You speak to the mountain, it moves. That's how post-leaven faith. Pre-leaven faith. Hear the Word. Access the Word. You access the kingdom. You hear the Word of the kingdom. You access. You receive. You understand. You keep. And then the final one, which we're talking about right now. You have three measures. What are the three measures? You have the Word, dunamis, and faith. All of those must be present. Should be present. Don't always have to be, but if you want to do it God's way and get God's kind of result, you need the three measures present. Amen? And if you have the three measures present, with one of those measures, faith. Faith has multiple operations. Faith hears. Faith accesses the kingdom, gets in position to administrate revelation, to administrate the promises. Then faith receives the Word. It receives dunamis. Then what does faith do? It keeps it. And then what does it do? The final operation of faith, say final, or what we believe to be the final. Pre-leaven faith is faith that sees. Amen? Look, you don't have to see anything. When you see it, you don't need any faith. It's already manifested. I'm talking about faith that sees the invisible. Faith that sees, God's going to equip your spirit to see the invisible. Your spirit, blessed are your eyes that see. Say, blessed are my eyes that see. You got to learn to see. If you don't learn to see the invisible, your faith is not going to triumph. The enemy's going to constantly bring a barrage of circumstances to get into your heart because he wants you to see. Exactly opposite of what God has said. That's why when you start operating faith, standing on faith, standing for the kingdom of God that manifests, the enemy will bring a barrage of circumstances around you. Why does he do that? Because he wants you to see his circumstance. He wants you to see the temporal. He wants you to see things the way they are. He wants you to be convinced that you're never going to change. He wants you to be convinced if you're going to get out of this, you're going to have to do it yourself. He wants you to see his image. And God wants you to see his image. And whatever image you behold, as a man believeth and thinketh in his heart, so is he. You got to change what you see. And you have to practice that. And I tell people now, because of the order of the Holy Spirit, don't just try to start seeing something. Wait until you get a word. Let the Holy Spirit and faith transfer the Word into your spirit. Then you receive dunamis on the behalf of that Word. And when you got that Word integrated in your heart, then see that Word. See that promise. See that one. That'll get you out of positive thinking and get you into belief in the heart. We're not talking about positive thinking. We're talking about belief in the heart. We're sinking and setting the eye of faith into the word we received. Amen. So today, I'm going to give you some imagery. You know how the Lord spoke in parables? He spoke in parables. Jesus did not preach documented fact, but he did preach truth. Documented fact for the head. He preached truth in parables so you can see. He taught in images and parables so you could understand a spiritual kingdom with natural senses. Amen. We're going to go to Ezekiel 47. We're going to look at this imagery here. Verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again. He brought me again on the door of the house. And behold, waters issued from under the threshold of the house eastward to the forefront of the house, stood towards the east, and waters came down from under, say under, the right side of the temple. The temple faced eastward, and the Dead Sea was directly due east. And so the temple faced eastward and said, the waters, some of your Bibles will say the south side of the altar, waters flowed out from the south side or from the right side, say right side. And they broke out of the underneath the temple threshold, out of the foundation stone, out of the rock of Christ. The waters released where? Out of the right hand, out of the right side, out of the south side. Those waters are going to break out of the right side. And when they flow towards the gate, they moved out of the gate. And you know the story. You know the parable. Notice these waters. See these waters. When you're praying, the waters, you see that. God's giving you this imagery for a reason. The waters flow to the ankles. And we had this parable Wednesday night. Flow to the knees. 30, 60, 100, milk, meat, mystery, ankle, meat, knees, ankle, milk. That's where a lot of people are. They like to wade around in the shallow water. They get around the shallow water. You notice how people live in the shallow water? They don't have near the kind of accountability you have. You can't go comparing yourself. The people, when you're out there waist deep, our waters are swimming and they're out in the ankles, because God's going to deal with you differently. You have a whole lot more accountability. When the deeper you get, the more accountability you have with God. Don't start comparing yourself and say, well, God, you did this with that one and you did this with that one. Listen, they may not never have the capacity to get past the ankles. They may live in milk all their life. Don't look at the way God deals with them. Look at the way God's dealing with you. God may want to change the world through you. God will lead anybody and everybody out to the fullness if they have the capacity to go there. They don't have the capacity. Your heart determines the capacity, not God. God doesn't say, oh, I'm going to leave you in 30, but some of you will get 60, and the rest of you can get 100. God doesn't determine that. You determine that. It's not easy to get out into the deep. There's a lot of obstacles out there. The enemy's going to confront you all along the way. If you're going to make it to the end, you're going to have to be a wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You're going to have wisdom to make it to the end. It's not easy to make it to the end. Oh, the Holy Ghost is going to get us there. He's going to get us there by his word, not by what we feel. We got to go by his word. We got to be led out in the deep by his word. So the ankles, milk, knees, meat, and waters to swim in, mystery. Mysteries of God. See, we want to get out in the deep. Out in the baptism. Waters are swimming. You see the baptism there? Everything God does, he puts it underwater. Put the whole world underwater. He brought the earth out of the water. He brought you out of a watery womb. Brought the Lord. Even the Lord himself had to undergo baptism. Amen? Brought up out of the waters. And notice what happens here. Now, these waters are going to the Dead Sea. Now, watch this imagery here. Look at verse 8. Then said he unto me, these waters issue towards the east country, and they go down into the desert where the Dead Sea is. They call it Dead Sea for a reason, because it's dead. Say dead. It's foreshadowing the dead world, or the world that's been subjected to the law of sin and death. People might be walking, but they're dead spirits walking if they're not born again. Their spirits are dead. There are dead body parts and limbs and cells in people's bodies that need resurrection. There's dead churches that need resurrection. Some of the churches are parked in the Dead Sea, and they're not the fishermen. They're in the sea. They need to get resurrected. Not us. Hallelujah. So these words are issued word to each country. They go down the sea, which being brought forth into the Dead Sea, the water, say what? Shall be healed. Notice the imagery. The water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass, I love this verse, that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers, say the rivers, out of your belly shall flow rivers. If you have an amplified Bible, they have it right. It says, whithersoever the double river floweth, say double river. It's a double river. It's not a singular river. It's a double river. Say double. A double river. God give you a double portion. This is the final day outpouring of God that Ezekiel saw, and he walked out into those waters prophetically with God. God took him out in the waters. The church is going to undergo a baptism in the last days. It's going to come forth. The church is going to go waters to swim in. The early church built the foundation. The last day church, these waters will flow to the nations. The double river. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. See, fish. We know this is speaking of souls. Look at that imagery there. Because these waters shall come hither, and they shall be healed, everything to live, whether soever this river floweth. This is not the present state of the church. Because I'm telling you, that kind of water's not flowing where everything lives. Not yet. And it shall come to pass. Now notice this. Look at this imagery. You can meditate this. This is part of seeing the administration of this government flowing in the nations. You can even close your eyes and look at this. Notice what it says. It come to pass that fishermen shall stand upon it, the Dead Sea. This is talking about global evangelism right here. From En-Gedi even unto Engleam, they shall be a place to spread forth their net, and their fish shall be according to every kind. The fish of the great sea, exceeding many. All those fish are dead, they're going to come alive. All nations, tongues, and tribes, the Lord himself inherited the nations on his ascension into the right hand of God. And the Holy Spirit's in charge of his church going to the nations. And some's going to be stationed in Engleam and some in En-Gedi. Some on the right side, some on the left side. Some in Houston, some in Dallas, some in Austin, some in New York, some in Washington, D.C., where they definitely need it. Some in all the nations, the fishermen stand and they cast their nets. Look at verse 12. And the river upon the banks thereof, on the side, on this side and on that side. Say, this side and that side. Now the waters are producing life, growth, increase, multiplication. Imagine you going out there and trying to fish in that Dead Sea without those waters. I wonder what would grow out there without those waters. It says, it shall grow this side and that side. On the right side, on the left side. There shall grow trees for meat. Trees for meat. Whose leaves shall not fade. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. Look at this. I love it. See, this is the difference between habitation and visitation. Because visitation, the fruit gets consumed. Habitation, look what happens. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months. Because the waters they issued out of the sanctuary, the fruit thereof shall be for the meat and the leaf for the healing of the nations. Look at the ministry going forth. Salvation, healing, growth, nurturing, maturing. All of that because these waters came out. You see the imagery there. God didn't give you that kind of imagery. He didn't have Ezekiel walk out there and see all that for no purpose. This is what he does. He seeds the eye of faith within us so we can see when we're believing. But you can't just go out there and do all that without those waters breaking out first. Now I want you to go to Zechariah 14, verse 8. It shall be. He's talking about the same waters. Hosea saw, says the fountain would burst forth from the Lord's temple. Say, I am the Lord's temple. God's greatest asset is presently dwelling inside of his people. God's next move is dwelling inside. It's not coming upon, it's coming out of. And there's a difference. The previous forerunner moves have come upon us. This is coming out of us. This final river, this final glory, these waters to swim in, they're coming out of us. They're a new type of water. It's a new operation of water. It's a final day outpouring. 14 verse 8, and it shall be in that day the living waters, say living waters, shall go out from Jerusalem. Half of them will go to the eastern Dead Sea, the Amplified Bible. Say half of them. Ezekiel only saw half that river. When he got the waters to swim in, he only saw half of its operation. He said the other half would go to the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea. Now you have to understand the Mediterranean Sea was the sea of commerce for that day. Everything from Rome to Egypt, the Nile fed into the Mediterranean. Rome, all the commerce of the early world was done in the Mediterranean Sea. The Bible says in Psalms 107, they that go down to the sea in ships do business in great waters. They weren't talking about the Dead Sea. Talking about the Great Sea. It's a sea of commerce. Solomon did all of his naval fleet in the Mediterranean Sea. Tyre, the king of Tyre himself, which was described in Ezekiel 28 as the devil, described him like that. He said the king of Tyre situated his kingdom right there on the Mediterranean Sea. So half of these waters flow to the eastern sea, half to the western, half to the dead, half to the sea of commerce. There's two different operations. Where do I fit? Am I going to be standing on the sea? The Dead Sea in England casting net? Or am I going to be in a ship in the Great Sea doing business in great waters? It all determines on who you are. I don't know where I am. It doesn't really matter right now because it's all coming out of the same fountain. We need to be more focused on getting the fountain flowing than where we fit. Or what we're doing with the waters. Where we stand. Some of you may have your one left foot over there in the Great Sea and the other one in the Dead Sea. I got two big feet. One of them in the Great Sea, one of them in the Dead Sea. It's called king priest. That's what we mean by king. Some are kingly oriented. Some are priestly oriented. Some are predominantly priestly oriented. Some are predominantly kingly oriented. And some are both. Don't struggle if you're both. Out of your belly will flow rivers. You might have both those rivers inside you. You might predominantly have one of those rivers. It doesn't matter where your place and functions. Many of your functions and your place will be determined when those waters break out. We're still trying to get the waters to break out. These are a very special type of water. These waters reserved for the last days. They were deep, 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 deep down in the fountain of Christ. Down in the rock of Christ. Down in the foundation stone of Christ. Reserved for a last day movement. A last day testimony. A last day operation. Notice the imagery. You can close your eyes and see yourself upon the great sea of commerce. Some might be seeing themselves casting net. Some might be one of those trees for the healing of the nations. Some might be providing the meat. Some of us in this church right now, we're parked inside the temple, waiting, receiving, cultivating, seeing, saying. I remember one time when the Lord gave me a definition of what it means to believe him. I was in the middle of a conference and the Spirit of God came upon me in the middle of that conference. I mean, I was in intercession and I went out in the field that I remember went out of that field and the Spirit of God had come over me. Holy Ghost just hovered right over me. Spirit of God came over me and he said, would you like my definition of what it means to believe me? I said, yes. He said, it's a state of seeing and saying that will manifest the fullness of the inheritance of Christ in you, to you, and through you. Say, a state of seeing and saying. That was probably 12, 13 years he gave me that. And I'm still learning what that meant. God can give you a one-liner sometime. It'll take you 10 years to figure it out. Sometime 20 years. He'll give you the one-liner, seeing and saying. It's important in the execution of your faith that you learn how to see before you see. That you learn how to see with the eyes closed. You've got to see the kingdom. You've been given the capacity to see. Jesus himself told Nicodemus, he said, if a man, unless a man be born again, you can't even see the kingdom. But if you're born again, you have the capacity to see, and you've got to utilize that. Eye of faith, I'm not talking about your mind, it's the eye of faith that works with the heart. And the belief of the heart that's seated and governed by the word of God. You got to see it, and you got to say it. If you're not willing to do those things, if you're not willing to exercise and cultivate, you're going to stay right where you're at. How many of you are tired of being ceilinged? How many of you are tired of being in the same place? You know, you've been in ministry long enough, you kind of know what works and what doesn't work. The latest fad that comes through the body of Christ, and yes, I've been there, done that, got that t-shirt, got a whole closet full of them. All the ones promising this, promising that, promising this. After you've been around for a while, you kind of get an idea how, where that's going. You have to see that. But then you figure out what's going to get me where I need to go. Don't misunderstand me. There's not a man in the world right now that can walk up to me and prophesy to me and get me where I need to go. Do you understand what I just said to you? Now, I'm not discounting prophecy. Because prophecy seeds the promise inside of you. I'm not saying, what I'm saying is he cannot prophesy and activate where I want to go. God's got to work that from me. He's got to work that promise inside of you. He's got to work that birth from within you. Now that prophecy seeds who you are and where you're going. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If you're looking for somebody to get you where you need to go, you're looking in the wrong place. Because when you get sealing and you're ready to birth and go to the next level, you're going to have to do it God's way. You're going to have to employ God's way after you've done everything else. Everybody says, well, just do this, just do that. We've done all that. We'll just do this. We've done that too. One thing's going to definitely get us where we need to be. It's the mysteries. And the keys of the kingdom that unlock the unlimited potential of the Most High God. That's going to get us there. That's why we're locked in. It doesn't matter whether you're locked in into the Dead Sea or locked into the Great Sea. It's still coming out of the same fountain. It's one fountain that manifests in two waters. Some of you might be locked into the Great Sea. Some of you might be locked into the Dead Sea. Locked into your faith. The administration of faith. Don't worry about what it's going to look like. Because we're not in charge of the waters anyway. Say, I'm not in charge of the waters. Don't try to figure out too much in advance of how things are going to be. Why don't we be more focused in unity of how to get these waters out of this fountain, out of this temple. Let the Holy Ghost bring them out. Let the Holy Ghost divide them. And then you'll find your place. Well, I don't know where I fit. I don't know where I fit. Maybe you're called to be in unity with the rest of us to sit inside this temple like the early church was, sitting up a room until the waters break out. Sit into the temple till the waters break out. Then ride your wave. Let the river take you whithersoever. Because listen, when you get in God's river, you're not going to be standing anyway. When you get waters to swim in, it's going to take you whithersoever. You are called to whithersoever. I have the whithersoever calling. What does that mean? When those waters break out, I get in them. Some of you got function right now. I get that. We're all functioning, but these waters are going to lift us from our function and take us to a real, going to give us the unction, the function, and the gumption, the unction, the function. Going to give us the gumption for the unction, the function. When these waters break out, they're going to take us whithersoever anyway. They're going to take us into brand new places. Don't get hung up what it looks like. Don't even get hung up where you fit so much. We got to get the waters out of the temple first. Amen. These are king priest waters. In the last days, Revelation chapter 5, the elders rejoices that the kings and priests are going to reign in the earth. Reconcile. The two offices begin in one river. Jesus called after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, a king and the high priest of the Most High God, called after that order. His body's called after that order. We must reconcile. It all comes out of the same fountain. Amen. Don't worry about where are you fit. You might have a foot in both of them. You might be sailing in the Great Sea and fishing in the Dead Sea. Your mind will get too much involved antiquating how all this is going to look, how all this is going to fit. The waters are governed by the Holy Spirit, not man. The waters are going to take us where we fit. They're going to deliver us right where we need to be. They're going to deliver us who we need to be. Because you might be amazed at what God's called you to do. It might be exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you could ask or think. Right now, we're just wanting birth, manifestation, graduation, confirmation, demonstration. We want the Asian anointing. I like that. We want the Asian. God, give me the Asian. Right now, I believe I'm one step away, or we are one step away. I believe some of us are loaded with the measures right now. I've been practicing seeing faith for the last month and a half. It's amazing when you have a word and how you can release the eye of faith into it. Sanctified imagination, how you can literally live in your promise. It gets pretty real. You can smell. You can see. You can touch. You can feel. All things are not even visible yet, but they are to you. That's how real it can get inside you. That's the way it needs to be. People don't understand this about faith. They don't understand how faith works. What governs faith? That's what the Father was before he spoke all that in the creation. It lived inside of him. You got to let something live inside of you. Ladies, when you were pregnant, I'd never been pregnant like that, but could you feel that unborn inside you? You carried it. You knew even in the early days it was there. He, she was there. You knew. Even before it's really formed, you just knew. You're carrying it. The reality of it. That's the way it is of the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Go over to, I want to close with this, maybe. Zechariah 6. The word will give you the imagery you need. You're evangelist. See yourself casting the net over the city. When you're imagining the city being saved, see every day throwing that net over the city. See the net stretching forth all the way. Get you a wall of vision where the city is all lined out there, a poster of the city, and draw you a circle. And then speak to it and decree it and cast the net over that circle. And then draw you another circle and cast the net over that circle. You have to have vision. You have to exercise vision in accordance to what God has said to you. If you don't, your word will go dull. A lot of people have carried words and their word has gone dull. Dormant. See, that's the thing about the seed. It falls in the ground. It stays in a dormant seed state until imbibition takes place. Water. Say water. The water is the dunamis that comes in. See, the dunamis gets added to the word and it awakens the word. You need dunamis. Your faith receives that, see. These are the ways of the kingdom of God. These are the ways and the keys and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In reality, once you're taught and trained in this area, it's actually second nature. It's just second nature to operate like that. It's like anything else you learn. You operate by second nature. You just learn to do it. It's part of who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Zechariah 6. Love this chapter. Verse 9. Said, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, take of them of the captivity, even Heldiah, Tobijah, and Jediah. Why couldn't they have like Matthew, Mark, and John, which are come from Babylon? Come down on the same day and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, and take silver and gold. This is a very, very powerful prophetic chapter. It says, take silver and gold with you out of Babylon and make crowns with the silver and gold and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. So here they are. They take silver and gold out of Babylon, wealth of the world system, and they're utilizing that wealth. They make a crown and they crown the high priest. This is what's going to happen in our hour. This is what's going to happen in our day. There's going to be the crowning of the high priest. It's just going to happen. The priesthood is going to get crowned with a kingly anointing. It's going to be a move like no other. It's going to be a move that's going to testify to every strata of society, just like the Lord did when he went into Capernaum. First thing he did is he testified to their industry, the fishing industry, and manifest his glory out there in the waters. Testified out there. That was their number one industry there, the fishing. Then he testified in the temple. The high priest, his daughter got raised from the dead. The chief of police. You know the story. The centurion of Capernaum, his servant gets healed. He's the chief of police, has 100 soldiers that are governing, keeping the order of the city. Matthew, the tax collector, gets converted in Capernaum. Peter's house was in Capernaum. They had a revival in Capernaum. You see all this manifestation going on there. The nobleman of Capernaum, his son was lying sick, and the Lord said, go thy way. He's healed. His whole household got saved. Chief of the political arena. Could you imagine the testimony that went on in the political arena because of that? You see that kind of order. The Lord himself brought the true order of the kingdom that was going to testify to every area. Leaders, he's going to testify to them again in this hour. Amen. Now notice this. Verse 12. So they crowned the priesthood and speak unto him, say verse 12, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up, say grow up, out of his place, and he will build the temple of the Lord. See, God's building a temple, and he's going to put the final capstone on it in this generation. The final stone's going to be laid in. You think God's going to come for a powerless church? Oh, no, 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 no. He's going to light it up. He's going to light a lampstand. Bridal company of kings and priests are going to reign in the earth before the last days, before the tribulation begins. God's going to have some kind of move. We're going to all be a part of it. Amen. Hallelujah. He said he shall bear the glory and sit, and he'll rule upon his throne. Now, this is the priest now upon a king's throne. Notice the imagery. Same thing. Water's coming out of the temple. One going to the great sea. One going to the dead sea. Now he's taking a high priest, and now he's ordering it after Melchizedek. He's going to become a high priest, but now he's going to sit in a king's throne, just like the Lord. He administrates out of the right hand, not just as an high priest, not just as Savior, but he administrates as a king. You got to reconcile. He's all of it. Say, he's all of it. Amen. He shall build the temple. Verse 13. Even he shall build the temple. And he shall bear the glory. And he shall sit and rule upon his throne. Christ is doing that right now. High priest ruling upon his throne. Ministrating in the affairs of salvation. Ministrating over the affairs of his people, ministering over the affairs of the nations, ministering over the business of the nations. He administrates all of it. He's a king. He's a priest. He's a savior. He's all of it. Reconcile. It's all coming out of one fountain. Hallelujah. And he shall what? Be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. There's only one person sitting on that throne. He's a council of peace between the two offices. It seems there's a harmonizing of the offices. That's what God's going to do. He's going to harmonize his people in this last hour to operate as one body with multiple dual function. But we operate in one river, one operation. Some will be in the Dead Sea. Some will be in the Great Sea. Don't worry about where you fit so much. We need to be more concerned about getting the waters out. That's what we're called to do right now, is give birth to these waters. That's what's up inside of us. God's given us some unprecedented mysteries. I'm amazed sometimes. And what God has given us, the wisdom he's given us at this little place with a taco stand. Sometimes I said, God, if people knew what you've given us here. And I'm just a donkey. But he's given us some stuff. Don't grow so familiar with what God's given us. And don't waste it either. Because there's a lot of people that love to hear because they're ceiling. And if they knew what you knew, they knew what to do with their faith because they've tried everything else and nothing worked. If they had these keys to unlock this thing, don't you want to know a God you can pray to and he answers you? Do you want to pray for 30 years and God never answer? I want to know the God I pray to is going to answer me in every affair, from my personal life to ministry to the world. I want to know that he's going to answer. I want to know how that works. God is not a man that he should lie. He said it. He'll do it. I found out some of it was our misunderstanding or our lack of knowledge and understanding of the scripture of how God works. God's not a formula. It's a relationship. You're going to have relationship, because faith works by relationship. Because you're going to have to do everything in front of the Father with the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one of them are going to be left out, not even including you. To exercise faith requires the greatest and the utmost intimacy. People don't understand that. When you start exercising faith, the Father's going to get attracted to you like a magnet. You're going to attract the Father's pleasure. You're going to attract his pleasure. I'm getting more pleasure now out of the Father believing him than I ever did before. I used to directly go to Father just for fellowship. I'm getting deeper communion with the Father now than I did when I'd go through him just for fellowship. And I'm believing him for something. I said, I never knew that you were so happy about this. He said, well, you never did it this way. I said, I'm doing it now. We are called to inheritance. Listen, just because God gives you something and tells you something, there's a process by which he releases it into the earth. It's got to come his way. He's got a process transact spiritual inheritance into natural operation, whether it be healing, salvation, whether it be for you and your family. God is just, and He is just. God is just. I like that. Say, God is just. He's just as concerned for you and your family. How many preachers go win the world and they lose their own family? He's just as concerned about everything. Let's not put Him in a little box. Let's open the box. Know that one fountain's coming out of you has everything in it. That fountain has a fullness of inheritance in it. Amen? Reconcile what God's doing in this hour. See what He's doing. Let your faith release to see. If you have trouble, get that word, because that word's going to come with image. But you've got to exercise the image. Say, exercise the image. That's going to take practice, especially if you haven't learned to focus. I told Anna on the way over here this morning, I said, the number one thing in the kingdom, you have to have focus. The enemy, and Carlos had this word, distraction. You must understand how distraction works. His job is to distract you from the operation of the kingdom of God, to keep you in yourself. Because He can keep us in ourself, He has us ceilinged. We're going to get the same result next year as we get this year. But if we learn to focus in for birth, say focus in for birth, we're going to learn how the kingdom works. We're going to be the ones rejoicing. Amen. Glory to God. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. You got to work? Come on.
I just wanted to share this scripture verse from Ezekiel, because he was talking about in Ezekiel the rivers of living waters. And in this, he compares the living waters to the glory of the Lord that is called to fill this earth. Because the glory will transform people when it hits them, like the living waters and the glory are the same. And we need that transforming glory and power of God to do quick work in bringing people in the kingdom of God. And this is the verse out of Ezekiel 43:1-4. And suddenly the glory of the God of Israel appeared from the east, and the sound of His coming was like the roar of rushing waters. And the whole landscape, the whole earth, shone with His glory. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple. When the revival hit Pensacola, they said there was like the sound of rushing waters. And we call the release of the sound of the rushing waters, the release of the sound of living waters coming forth from each one of our temples. It's coming forth and it's touching this world, and it's bringing life to dead things. It's bringing resurrection power to dead things. The life of God is being released into commerce, the life of God being released, and the fish, like we saw last week, jumping into that boat in Jesus' mighty name.